seat, please. Oh, what a joy to be here together with you and open up the scriptures and learn more about God and about the great things that he has called us to walk in. Because we have really been called of God personally to live this incredible life that's so abundant in blessings. We think about what we have. We've been rescued from darkness. We've been snatched out of the clutches of death, really. We've been redeemed. We've been made righteous. We've been made whole. We've been given Holy Spirit. We've been given life. We have power within us. We are God's own. What a life that we have. We have free and complete access to God. Imagine that. We can go into his presence at any time, go before him and pour out our hearts and know that he hears us and he responds. We really have lives that are worth living, don't we? So let's talk about works, okay? Whoa, that's right. I thought this was all by grace. You know, the grace administration, we walk in grace. It's all by grace. We don't have to do anything. Can you imagine after all that God has done for us and where he's rescued us from and how he's empowered us that we would then just wait for something? He has called us to walk in good works. And we're going to look at that in Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Yes, that's the grace part. "And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Okay, so it doesn't look like really there's much in the way of works involved here. You know, let's clarify this topic, because there definitely is some confusion going around within the Church of God worldwide about this. And really the key is in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained or prepared that we should walk in them." Okay, so we do have something to do. And the really great thing is you have to qualify this, because it's in the new creation that God has created us unto good works. It's in the new creation. And God has prepared us, the new creations, and he has prepared the good works for us to walk in, with the intention that we should be fruitful in them. Okay, so it's like the perfect setup. He has made us new creations. He has made us to walk in good works. He has then prepared the good works for us to walk in. Okay, let's talk about walking. Walking, right, it's an ongoing action. Al demonstrated that beautifully a few weeks ago right across the stage here, right? It's an ongoing action. When you're walking, it's not like you take a few steps and then you sit down and you take a rest, or you lay down, take a nap. Walking is intended to be an ongoing motion. Continuous movement, forward action. You're advancing. It's steady. Okay, so this walk of good works is something that should be all about what our lives are. We're not saved by those works, right? We're not justified by them. We're not made righteous by them. But the saved, justified, righteous person walks in those good works. Why? because God has called us to do that, and he's prepared them. And God, in his great love and mercy, right, he knows each one of us individually. He knows our lives. He has called us out by name. It's not always just a group activity. God has prepared specific things for you in your life to do that are qualified as good works. And we're going to go to the Word and let the Word define for us what those good works are. Because if you look around in the world, there are a lot of good things being done by people. There are tremendous humanitarian efforts that are happening to aid people in different countries or in our country, people who have tremendous needs, right? What about telethons? Do you ever see telethons? Right, where there are people who are raising money, putting a lot of effort into a situation to raise money for a good cause. One interesting thing to keep in mind in situations like that, first of all, we have to remember in Ephesians 2, it says that we were created unto good works. This is in Christ Jesus. So these good works that the Word is talking about apply to those that are God's, that are born again. Okay. Some of these fundraising events that really do benefit people, and I don't mean in any way to belittle those efforts, who really gets the recognition oftentimes and the glory? You know, maybe the host, entertainers, the celebrities, or the donors. You know, that's where, you know, all the glory and the recognition goes to. But let's look at a great example, Matthew 5. Really, Jesus Christ described it perfectly, exactly what these good works are. Matthew 5, in verse 14, it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So those good works are done by those who are created in Christ Jesus. Those works, as we walk in them, will glorify God. And Jesus Christ certainly did that, right? And this section in Matthew, you know, talking about you wouldn't light a light and then put it under a bushel. You know, if you're in a dark place, you light a light, you set it up on high where people can see it, people who need the light, so that that light will shine on them. The kind of great example was Al this morning, what he was sharing. You know, he's in a situation that I'm sure has its aspects of darkness, but he is there shining as a light, and he said in his own words, he's looking to God. He is looking to God for what to do, what to say. You know, he's already had an opportunity to shine that light, to hold forth the word of life. So we are blessed people. We are blessed with the knowledge of God's will. We are blessed with the Holy Spirit within us that is energized by God. So we should walk in those good works and glorify God to the utmost. It's really not about us, right? We've got that part figured out by now, right? In John 8:12, I'll just read it to you. Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And in Philippians 2:15 and 16, it says, "We are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom we shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life." Could that be some of those good works that we uniquely could do? And I want you to think, to really take this personally, because if God has personally prepared for you good works for you to walk in, if you don't do them, then they won't get done, because they are uniquely designed and prepared for you. So you think, well, okay, what are they? What are those good works? You know, okay, now I got to figure it out. Let's see, what could those good works be? Let's see. I mean, I have these kind of abilities. I have this kind of time. You know, I could make a to-do list. I mean, well, look what Jesus Christ, he got up early in the morning, a great while before day. Do you think he was making his to-do list? Let's see, today I think I'm going to heal a blind man. Yeah, yeah. All right, I'm going to confront the Pharisees. No, he was going to the Father, praying to God. God was revealing to him, look, this is what I've prepared for you today. This is it. What about the day that he showed him, all right, today is the day you're going to raise Lazarus from the dead. You see how important it is that we have in our minds, first of all, the awareness what God has prepared for us, and then the presence of mind, because you're always looking to God, checking in with God, and the willingness, even in this very distracting, dark world where you're shining as a brilliant light, to have that continual, intimate fellowship with God where you're going, okay, Father, okay, what do you have for me now? What do you have for me this morning? What's the next thing? How can I help in this situation? What can I do? I mean, really, we heard some wonderful examples this morning of different things that we can do and are doing in terms of intercession to be ministering healing, like in Pam's situation, in Shirley's situation, where there are believers there saying, I will do those good works. Yes, I will do it. The intercession, the praying that we do together, it makes a difference. God has given us the ability. He's prepared the way for us, and we're doing it. And that's why we are seeing the results. That's why people are getting healed and delivered, and needs are getting met. And like with Claudia's situation, you know, God has prepared the way for her. She is just moving ahead. She is moving ahead. Okay, Father, if that's what you want me to do, great. Okay, you don't want me to do this anymore? Fine, I'll do that. And God has prepared good works for her in those situations, and I'm certain she's going to carry them out. So we don't have to figure them out. And the things that we do are unique. They are not the things that the world does. I mean, it's kind of like beyond good deeds. And we appreciate good deeds, and we do good deeds. But we have something uniquely, powerfully special because of who we are in Christ. And so I want you to look at Psalm 143. Because the real key here, it's not like God has necessarily given us a personal itinerary from the time we're born again that is, you know, charted out for the rest of our lives. You know, because it's a walk, right? We're walking in good works. Psalm 143:8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. You see, the burden is not on us to figure out what those good works are. We go before God. The whole thing is to glorify him. He's the one who's provided it. So we ask him, right? Just like David did. You know, you read those Psalms. He's like, Father, or God, lead me, teach me, help me to understand. Now, this is not a self-centered way to walk, is it? It's selflessness. because you're not trying to figure it out on your own. What we do is we do the things that reflect the nature of God, because it is God who's directing our steps. He has encouraged us and told us in his word to be imitators of him. How do we do that? You know, we have this incredible resource of his word. He's revealed himself to us. So that's simple. We walk in these good works in a way that points to God, not to us. That's how God gets the glory. And we do it by way of the Spirit of God within us and our faithfulness to go to the Scriptures. I mean, that is a winning combination right there, because it's God working within us. Philippians 2:13, it is God which worketh in you to both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That is a given. That is happening. So let's take a look at 2 Timothy, and we're just going to look at some different aspects, characteristics, results of these good works. Second Timothy chapter 3. I think this is probably a familiar couple of verses to most of you. In chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All those things that we need. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And there again, it's qualified that the man of God, that's the person born again of God's Spirit, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So God has prepared the way for us. He's prepared the good works ahead of time. This is where you see that he has prepared us, because this reference to being thoroughly furnished is like a ship that is bound for a long voyage across a long, large, vast sea. Can you imagine getting out there in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and, whoops, we forgot the water or something? But this is being, we are furnished by God with everything that we could possibly need unto all good works. See, I mean, it's just, it's like, it is the perfect, perfect setup for us. You know what it just takes? A willing heart. And awareness. And you know, another wonderful thing about it is that we are in this together. We truly are. And I'll show you something about that in a few minutes in terms of these good works. But I just want to go over again some of the characteristics of these good works. Number one, who does it glorify? God, not ourselves, not others. And let's just look in John 10. I mean, talk about the greatest example of someone who did good works, right? Jesus Christ. So, and here are the Jews, the religious leaders, their response in John 10, 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" And of course they're like, "Oh, well, we're not going to stone you for the good works. We're going to stone you for this other thing." "Many good works have I shown you." Well, what good works? Can you think of some good works that he did? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. Fed the multitudes. He taught the word. All of these things. These were those things that God was directing him to, that God had laid out before him to do. And he left an incredible example for us. In this verse 32, he says, "Many good works have I shown you from my Father." See, that's the other characteristic. Those works are from his Father. They are from our Father. They are prepared by him. Look over in John 14. In verse 9, Jesus is talking unto Philip. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then, show us the Father? Believest not thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. See, all those works he did were pointing to God, pointing to God. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So the works that he did are also the works that we will do and are doing. Praying, healing the dead, being there to meet people's needs, listening to God, what can I do in this situation? And then being willing to do it. And then the greater works. How about the light that we so shine as we hold forth the word of life, that we can offer people an opportunity to be born again, to have eternal life? It's a life and death situation. You know, really. Now, if your own personal life, your own personal circumstance, your own personal path that you walk on, you know that God puts us in situations or somehow gets people to us that need to hear. And if we're watchful, I mean, we just can't really afford to just zone out. And I know that happens, but just we need to keep in mind that God has called us to do these things. If we don't do them, they won't get done. God wants us to abound and to be fruitful in good works. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 9, the context of this verse I'm going to share with you is giving. And in verse 8 it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And he encourages us in this context to be bountiful sowers and be cheerful, open-handed givers. You know, and this does apply in the financial category. It also applies in every category. You know, like when Jesus Christ fed the multitudes, right? Somebody brought him a few fishes and some bread, and he just right away just took it, prayed to God, and out it goes, out it goes, out it goes. Thousands of people got fed, right? Well, you know, God provides everything that we have, right? I mean, we came into this world with nothing. You know, he provided everything for us. And he's given us his spirit, he's given us life. So everything that he has and everything that he's given us, let's give it. Give it. And we will abound in every good work. He provides the resources. Look in verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness which causes through us thanksgiving to God. It just keeps getting better and better. And in Colossians 1:10, we'll just read that really quickly. It's a great, great, great reference there. Do a study on good works sometime in the Bible. It's really wonderful. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. See, he wants us to be abounding and fruitful in every good work. And you know, he also wants us to continue in good works, to maintain them. Look in Titus chapter 3. Timothy, Titus. In chapter 3 and verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So he wants us to maintain good works. There's profit involved. He also wants us to encourage each other to good works. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. And in verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So if we're going to provoke each other, okay, let's provoke each other unto love and good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So he wants us to abound, be fruitful, maintain good works, encourage, provoke one another to do good works as well. And he's the one who establishes in us those good works. He is the one. We're accountable to him. Let's look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Kind of keep your finger in Hebrews there if you haven't already pulled it out. Oops. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope, through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now, isn't it interesting we started out talking about works versus grace? You know, but grace is woven throughout this whole thing. Almost every verse that we've gone to regarding good works mentions grace or mercy. So it's God who comforts our hearts and establishes us in every good word and work. So as we're walking, remember, it's a continuous thing. It's not a one-shot deal. As we're walking and we're living that life with him, we're going to him, we're seeking his counsel, his advice, his direction. He's establishing us along the way. And as we're doing that, we're encouraging one another. That's how we are able to see these great, incredible things of God. The healings, the physical healing, the emotional help, all these wonderful things that God has provided, he wants us to abound in. Back in Hebrews, we'll look at one more verse before we close up. Hebrews 13. Two verses. Chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So just to kind of recap here, the characteristics of good works, right? They glorify God, not ourselves, not others. They're from the Father. They're prepared by Him. We just need to walk. They include the works that Jesus did and greater works. God has prepared good works for us to walk in. He wants us to maintain those good works. He wants us to abound in them and to be fruitful in them. He wants us to encourage one another to do good works. And He is the one who establishes us in good works. So the result of doing this? God is glorified. God is praised. God is magnified. Others are blessed, and we are blessed. Win-win. Win-win-win. So we look to God, and that's my encouragement. Remember, in any situation, any circumstance, no matter how challenging, no matter how hopeless it may seem, look to God. Look to Him. Father, what do I do? What do I do? And then walk in the good works that He has already prepared for you to walk in. And you will be blessed. Amen? Amen. All right. Amen.